Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we confirm that the Bears still suck. And get ready for an extremely tough matchup with the Broncos out in Denver. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Christian Watson.
We got the bad. We got
those pesky three and outs.
We got the ugly. We got
special teams. We're back, Corey. We went, you know, almost 2 months without any, like, real special teams grumbling. And now we're back. We got kickoffs out of bounds. We got shanked punts. We got penalties. Like, it's all back, baby. When we're back, how are you doing, Corey?
I'm good.
You're good?
That's good. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it.
I mean,
I'm glad to hear it.
It was a crazy week. Bears week was one of those for the record books. And
no doubt.
Sunday was arguably one of the craziest days of my life, I'm going to be honest with you. And,
you mentioned this a couple times on Watch Party, but we haven't really expounded on what you were doing. Like,
I can't talk about it.
Okay, there you go. See, that's what I was seeing, how much you were going to be able to release to the public.
And people weren't allowed to post social media from my tailgate. It was like a big thing. It was crazy. But, yeah. Also, you and my girlfriend always say that I do this all the time, but you know, the last Packers home game is going to be a special one. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't believe I'm going to have a Super Bowl champion in my house. But
I know,
can't say
right?
Who. Can't say.
No,
who,
you're so. Not allowed. Can't say. A lot of secrets going on in Banky world. I know.
But yeah, it was one of those games where it's like a nooner, but it's not a nooner. You know, if you know what I mean? And I had to cook the brats because
really
here's the thing. If some of you have seen the video of my cousin Dennis cooking brats, which I just put in a new culture playlist. If you missed it, I had an unboxing of a cheesemosa today. So, but anyway, so my cousin Dennis, shout out Dennis Banky, extraordinary tailgater. I'm just going to say this.
This is probably true.
One of the greatest Packer tailgaters of
the
all
OG
time.
Legend back in the day.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I ever met him over by Kroll's. Like,
oh, yeah.
Decades,
and you had heard about him before you met
yes.
him. So, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. He was
legendary.
Yep. But yeah, so a huge thing happening in my house. I need the guy who cooks my brats because he does them the best and decides he's going to go pheasant hunting on Packers.
Like, what?
Party. Like,
what?
What the hell?
No, absolutely not.
It's Dennis, really funny. What's really funny to me is, like, there's people in this world that it's like, if it's not a green, and that was a green package game. So that hunting season mm-hmm. is serious. Okay. So I'm not trying
serious.
To crap.
No,
and
no.
we need our hunters. There are animals that, you know, they don't have an apex predator. We need them. Whatever you think about that, we need that. So that's doing a service for good for Wisconsin, not hating on that. But I just think it's funny how, like, there's so many green package season ticket holders that don't go to gold package games because they don't have tickets. So they're like, oh yeah, no, it's fine.
Amazing.
It's just funny to me. I'm like, you know, the Packers are still playing. Like,
you know, the Packers have a game
still
today,
happening.
Right? You know that, right? I get you're out there hunting pheasants, but there's a game on there, buddy. Love it.
But yeah.
Let's give a shout out to our friends over at Nicolet Law. Support for this episode of Packer Transplants does come from Nicolet Law, a personal injury law firm serving folks across the Midwest. If you've been injured, you need more than just a quick payout from the insurance company. You need someone who will actually fight for what you deserve so you can focus on healing and moving forward. That's what Nicolet Law does. They help people get the best possible outcome. No upfront fees, no legal jargon, and no big egos. Just local attorneys who have your back when it matters most. To learn more, visit NicoletLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET. You know what that means now, Corey. You know what's up. You know what time it is. Let's get to it. Let's get to the hotness. Now, I don't think there's any doubt what play and what moment of this game is going to be the hotness, but I also wanted to rope in the picture of the moment into the hotness, because not only is Keyshawn Nixon picking off Caleb Williams to win the game in the end zone hot in and of itself, but this photo from Packers photographer Emma Pravacek, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce her last name, but she took what I think is the best shot of this moment, and here it is. This is outstanding. Look at that photo, Corey. That is the hotness. So good. Absolutely love it.
I was watching The Rock do a video on Keyshawn Nixon, two plays. He did that play, but his three things mm-hmm. video, which is always great. Yeah. I always love watching
always
it.
Great.
I always learn something inevitably, so it's just a great video to watch. And revealed a stat about Keyshawn Nixon, tied for second in the league for PBUs, pass breakups.
That's not too shabby.
That's a big deal.
It's pretty
especially
good.
For a Packers cornerback. You don't see that. You don't see that every day.
No, and what's so funny is all the hate he was getting during the game, watch party chat was going crazy because of the penalties, one of which was bullshit. It should have been offset. It was ridiculous that he's the only one who got the personal foul.
Yeah.
But then there's the hands to the face on a third down, which kept a drive alive. So he's getting roasted in the chat, right? And then there's the play that ends up in a touchdown where the ball seemingly goes right through his hands. All of this, people are bitching. Like, if you go back and you actually watch the game down in and down out, he balled out. Keyshawn had a really good game. Like, those moments stuck out.
When he breaks up that screen,
no doubt.
When he broke up that screen, that was sick. That was ridiculous.
But he
was like
textbook.
Like, that was like they will show that to people how to break up a screen with your corner.
Absolutely. He was balling out. And so to have that redemption arc of so many fans grumbling and bitching, and then he literally wins the game. That's why I love football, man. That's why I fucking love this.
You know what was the unhotness, and I do not want, I don't think anyone should go back and watch tape on this, because it's one of the most depressing things you'll ever watch.
What's that?
Rashawn Gary's play in that game. Oh, my God.
We'll talk about it. We'll be talking about it in the defensive component section, part of the script.
It was funny. Last week, you were talking about it, and I was like, you know what? I haven't really watched tape on Rashawn Gary lately.
It's not pretty.
Just don't do it.
Fun.
It's just weird. It's so weird too. Like, I wonder what's going on in 1265 right now with based on it. I mean, it's so weird. Like, it's inexplicably weird.
And it's not, here's the thing. It's not 100%. It's not every single down, but there are downs where you just wonder what the hell he's doing. Like, what are you doing? So, like I said, we'll get to it. We got a ways to go before we hit
anyway,
the defense.
Anyway, that was
right
the unhotness
now,
for me.
That was the unhotness, right. But right now, we're going to talk some Packers news, starting with a bit of an interesting little development here at practice today. Josh Jacobs did not practice. Now, he was with the rehab group on the side, or rehabbing on the side, but certainly something to look for, something to watch for tomorrow. Hopefully, he's back out there. Hopefully just getting some vet rest and they're trying to keep him fresh, etc. I know he's been dealing with a bunch of stuff throughout the season, but never great to see your lead back and the heartbeat of your offense on the sideline during practice. Not a fan of it. On the flip side, though, we got three guys returning to practice in Savion Williams, Lucas Van Ness, and Christian Welch. All three guys returned to practice, and the Savion and Lucas thing is interesting. Both of those guys coming off wearing, walking boots. Hopefully they're good to go and able to actually do a little bit more than just individual stuff. I suspect I haven't seen the injury report today yet, but I got to imagine there'll probably be limited participants. Hopefully we can bump that up to full by the end of the week, but I'm not holding my breath. Good to see them out there, though, regardless. And then finally, Corey, I know you're very excited to hear the Packers were wearing their winter warning uniforms.
Didn't we already
today at
do
practice.
This?
Didn't yeah, we, do this? We did. What's so funny is, like, not only did we do it already in September, winter warning, but now it's actually winter. It's December, and we're wearing our winter warning uniforms in a game where it's projected to be 61 degrees. Like, we just can't get this right. We just
no,
can't
you know
get
what it was?
Right.
Is the VP of the pro shop just rang up and they're like, hey, we still got a bunch of these, and we don't want to have a clearance sale.
Well, they did this last year, right? They did the winter warning early in the year, and then they wore it again on the road at the Seahawks game, right? A game that the Packers won on national television. Wait, sorry, what's that, Della? Della, I'm talking about last year. They played the Seahawks.
Yeah, Della. God, jeez.
Della's in my ear trying to throw me, trying to throw me off the scent here. And they won that Seahawks game while we were watching it with Donald Driver. So maybe we should get, you know, Donald Driver involved in watch party on Sunday. Just to keep
also the, winter's here. In, like symmetry. There's literally
I know,
like
there's no warning to be going on.
There's like 2 feet of like we got like almost a foot of snow yesterday on top of the foot that we've had for the last week. So yeah.
So the warning is like, hey, did you see that?
Hey, did you see
did
that?
Did you catch winter? That? That is winter. It's here. Sorry for no warning, but the winter's here. Very good. All right, let's talk about the offense. And I did want to lead with the interior of the offensive line, which I know some people may enjoy hearing about. Some people may roll their eyes and yawn. But I'm telling you what, they're doing enough. And I'm not going to, like, you know, sit here and blow smoke up their butts and say, oh, they're doing great, because they're not. But they're doing enough. And they're certainly better than what was on offer through the first half of the season, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting to see people talk about, you know, PFF grades, which is inevitably what people come back with whenever you say, oh, you know, Belton's playing pretty well, or, you know, Aaron Banks has kind of like come along here in the last couple of weeks. But if you look at your PFF grades, I cannot begin to tell you how little I give a shit about their PFF grades. I mean, I can show you plenty of tape where Jordan Love has time to throw the ball and throws a big touchdown pass. They're doing their job.
Well,
that's all I care about.
That's the thing. Like, all I care about is, hey, I mean, I care about plays over grades. If you look at the touchdown to Watson, they pick up 7 blitzers. Like,
yeah.
You it's weren't seeing that in week
cover
2.
Cover 0, no. Right?
And they pick it up really well, like, in a way that's a very complex way to pick it up in terms of, like, shifting and also the right side. And Sean Ryan, you know, you got to give him a little bit of credit. He is somewhat of an upgrade.
Your backup
over
center who's playing well and probably better than Elton Jenkins was. You know?
Which is saying a lot.
I'm not knocking Elton, but, like, Elton was really inconsistent and somewhat struggling with that shift to center. And Sean Ryan has come in and solidified the interior of that line. And the way those three have worked together has been pretty impressive.
I don't know if you – it looks like to me in the last 2 or 3 weeks we've solidified the right side of the line, which is saying a lot.
Oh, God, yes, with Belton and Tom over there. And Tom's been set it and forget it. We talked about this after the
Thanksgiving
game. And
Rasheed Walker, for the most part, is really good on the left side. It's just the interior has been the struggle.
Walker's coming off a rough game, though. That is, like, it was – he has played pretty inconsistent, I'd say, throughout this season as a whole. There have been stretches where he's been pretty decent, but coming off a rough one against the Bears, he's going to need to be a hell of a lot better against the Broncos, and that's no easy task in their building against this defense, which is some of the best pass rush we have seen in the league in a very long time. Corey, did you realize, I just found this out today as I was kind of researching for this game, the Broncos are on pace to tie the 1985 Chicago Bears with the most sacks in a single season ever, 72.
Wow.
They're not there yet, obviously, but that's what they're on track for.
Are they doing it with 4 mostly?
Predominantly because they have
Patino
and the lots. No, they do. They definitely mix it up. It's not like they're just rushing for 90% of the time or anything like that. They'll certainly catch you with certain pressures, but they have the ability to rush 4. And that is kind of maybe not their default, but it's what, you know, they've done a lot of. But yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Going to be a tough one up front. And Walker needs to be much better than he was against the Bears. That's for damn sure. Welcome back, Jaden Reed. How great was it to see Reed back with the offense? I think it was 4 targets, 4 catches, and then 2, as you mentioned before we went live, 2 end arounds, which were both not only positive gains, Corey, pretty significant gains as well. Not
yeah,
too shabby for Jaden Reed.
I think we had an 11-yard average. Oh, no, 7. Oh, no, wait, hold on a minute. I think it was an 11-yard average on, yeah, I got to do the
on 2 end arounds.
Yeah, 2 end arounds, I believe, if my memory sometimes isn't great. But yeah, we had an 11-yard average on end arounds, which is, hey, that's pretty good.
And, like, just the way he kind of seamlessly kind of reemerged on the offensive side of the ball, like right from the jump, right? Like the idea that I thought, okay, they'll have him kind of eased in, and he didn't play like, you know, 100% of the snaps or anything like that, but they went to him right away, early and often. And that was really encouraging to see, because you got to think they're going to need him down the stretch here as this offense hopefully continues to find more and more ways to move the ball. Man, it's just nice to have him back out there. It's just great. His skill set is so unique in this offense.
You got to imagine that that's the reason why they've gone back to 11 personnel pretty hard, is Reed's resurgence. Also, Wiley and Fitzpatrick, you know, coming up and being a little bit, you know, having more confidence.
You can trust
in that.
You can trust them, yeah.
So, because you saw this, you saw like two, when Kraft went out, you saw this, you know, I was like, oh, I bet they're going to go more 11. And they went like 80% 11. Then they fell in love, which I love, which we've talked about on this, the jumbo. They now have three different kinds of 600 packages, which is crazy.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
But they didn't use a lot of it. They were about 8% in 600 packages in that game.
I was surprised how they really downshifted with the Kennard stuff in this Bears game. Like they didn't. We talked about it last week on Transplants. I thought they were going to come out and pound it with Kennard. I thought they would use him a lot, and they didn't. They went the exact opposite way, which just goes to show that LaFleur is just watching right now and going, okay, whatever these yahoos say.
Yeah, whatever this idiot said. Whatever these idiots
say. We're definitely
say,
doing
we're
the opposite.
Do the opposite. But yeah, it isn't. I think it's. I actually think it's a good. I think it's a good thing when 50% of our personnel is run out of an 11, because it just that's our normal offense, I feel like.
And well, especially you know, if we can get cooking if we can get cooking with Watson, Reed, and then whoever. Like it can be Dobbs, it can be Wicks. I don't really care. You know, it's like but Watson and Reed is such a slot merchant, it's like that's the way they're gonna cook more often than not. With all of that said though, I will say, more tight ends, please. I loved what they were doing with all the tight ends early in the game. It, like they kind of got back to it during the second half, but it really felt like they were cooking with like the three tight end sets. The big Musgrave catch down the field, which for some reason got overturned. Still haven't seen a replay that says it should have been. But, you know, the way they got out on a boot with Jordan, Wiley with a 20-yard-plus catch, Fitzpatrick getting involved in the boot game. Like, I love all that. And it's just hard for teams to key on it, because you are running out all these different wide receivers down in and down out. And now all of a sudden you're not thinking, oh, well, I know I got to worry about Josh Wiley, you know, going out in a pattern here, especially if you're able to run the ball even just a little bit. They're going to be able to catch people with this stuff. So I love the way they used it. Hope we see more of it Sunday and going forward.
I mean, they did have their second highest success rating as an offense this entire season, so
it was pretty good.
If we don't see more tight ends, I don't give a shit.
Well, but that part of that success rate was due to the stuff they did with their tight ends.
Yeah,
especially
early
in the game.
Yeah, the mix up. Yeah,
mix up. Exactly. Love the mix up. Flipping it over to the defensive side of the ball, Nate Hobbs returns. It's so funny that, you know, kind of that somewhat kind of got lost in the mix here, because everything that happened, the drama of the Keyshawn play and the penalties and some of the other stuff. You're talking about Rashawn Gary, who we'll get to in a second. But Nate Hobbs was back for the first time in weeks, man. And he only played 9 snaps, but I was encouraged by what we saw. I know he gave up one reception, but I thought, because they love him inside, right? He played almost predominantly in the slot in this game. His physicality jumps off the screen, like especially when they need that slot guy or that nickel guy to be physical in the run game. He certainly is that and does not shy away from contact. Now, I would never, ever pull Javon Bullard off the field for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that's the plan, but it was nice to see Hobbs get back out on the field and get some reps. You know, this is a guy you did spend a pretty decent amount of money for in the offseason, and he is signed for the next several years. I suspect they're going to try and, you know, ingrain him into the offense in a way, or sorry, the defense in a way where, you know, he can still be a pretty significant component. I don't think this is going to be, oh, he's just a deep reserve and we only play him a handful of snaps a game. I just don't see that happening. But we'll see.
They're probably just limiting snaps for injury, I would think. But
yeah, that's the other thing. Coming back from injury, been gone a long time. Yeah, no doubt.
The play, and speaking of Javon Bullard and getting into Rashawn Gary, which I know you're gonna
Yes, sir.
I'm amazed at my ability to transition right here. But one of the plays that I think that Rashawn Gary literally looks like he takes the play off, and it's where Javon Bullard comes late on a delay and ends up getting the tackle that should have been really Rashawn Gary's to have.
Right.
And, you know, thank you, Javon Bullard, for being good. That's all I'm going to say about that.
It does help. Now, let's talk about Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary, at this point, essentially, especially in this game, a part-timer. I mean, Kingsley and Igbari is playing almost the same amount of snaps and is somewhat more effective with those snaps. And, look, like I said earlier when you brought him up, I don't think he played terribly. I don't think every down was a disaster. But there were certainly downs where I thought, what is he doing? Like, there are a couple where he's just kind of playing patty cake with the damn tackle. And I'm like, could you go at least blow through this dude with power the way you used to? I don't know if he's trying to do some finesse move. I don't know if he's trying to add to his arsenal as far as, like, trying new stuff or whatever. I have no clue. I don't know much about defensive end technique. But I do know that he used to be pretty damn effective when it came to running through a motherfucker's face. And if that's all he can do, fine, do that. But that is way preferable to some of the really kind of like just odd plays. Like you mentioned it. Like there's some plays there. You're just like, what is he doing?
Well, the thing about him was he always had, in previous seasons, he just always had a motor. He was a motor guy.
Yes. He was
and
one of
so
the best
many
motor
times.
Guys.
You just see him kind of going sideways, or there's this one play I was watching where he runs into his own guy, and it's not like it's not one of these things where it's like, oh, I didn't see you there. It's like you're literally right. running into your own guy, like it looks right. intentional. And again, like right. I don't understand. I remember watching. I think it was Matt Bowen. I can't remember. I was watching somebody that was going through Micah Parsons' plays, right? And we talked right. about this. I think like 3 weeks ago of like all the subtle intricacies and
right.
it split hand second placements
that what he's
happen,
doing. Yeah.
Getting in right. a guy's armpit and like just the things and all these small. Little details that really add up to like knowing what you're talking about when it comes to defensive end play. But like, I know that the thing I loved about Rashawn Gary was that he just had this motor that moved all the time. And if you yep. got him here, he'd spin around. And he is what Micah Parsons is to us
stops.
Now. He never stops. Yeah. And I don't understand what's going on. It's just so weird to me. So
yeah,
weird.
I agree. I totally agree. It is a very odd development, and I don't want to disparage the guy because I know it's not like he's not trying. It's
he's
not
such
like
a
he's
good dude
quit
too.
Or anything like
you can
that.
Tell, like, yeah, he's
but man, yeah. especially since he's taking himself off the field as much as he is. And I know Matt said a couple weeks ago, he's never been a high snap guy. Well, that's fine, but he's getting paid a significant amount of money and taking up a certain amount of cap where I'd prefer that guy to stay on the field and be effective.
Yeah, it's like what 28,
you know,
or something.
Somewhere around there. So, but Enigbari is probably going to make it a conversation if he keeps playing the way he has. And I don't think he's been a world beater or anything, but at least he's been a bit productive and has certainly shown up in big moments. Like, that has not happened with Rashawn since, like, week four. So, I just, man, I'm a Rashawn Gary fan, but right now he is mystifying to me. Like, something's got to give there. They need more.
Well, and I didn't see Halfley. Has Halfley been asked about it?
He was asked about him, I want to say, like 2 weeks ago, and I am sure he'll be asked about him tomorrow. Like, that's his availability this week, and I'm sure he'll be asked about it. So, I don't want to belabor it, but it is curious. I don't understand what's going on with Rashawn. But what I do understand is redemption, and that's what Keyshawn Nixon got. And we talked about it at the top, so I don't think we really need to belabor it too much, but I do want to remind people. Anyone who's here right now on this YouTube channel who possibly was also on the watch party flying hot takes off their keyboard about Keyshawn needing to be cut or benched or whatever, this is yet another example. Just let it play out. Let the game play out. Let it play out. This is why we watch. This is like the cornerback version of I was told the game was over. Like, everyone said Keyshawn was a bum and he was killing the Packers, and then he won the game. Like, I'm really happy for Keyshawn, obviously, but man, just try not to get caught up in the moment of this guy is a bum and needs to get cut. Because that shit drives me nuts.
I mean,
drives me nuts, Corey.
Corner has always been the, I would say it is the hardest position to play in football. I know people want to say quarterback, but it's like you just, you're living and dying. I mean, you look at the touchdown against us, and I don't know who was covering.
Oh,
and the touchdown where Caleb Williams throws it completely perfectly, and we have complete blanket coverage, and he still catches
it.
And I couldn't remember if it was Keyshawn or McKinney on him. But, like, the coverage is perfect. You could, like, it's a split second between, like, moving my hand and the ball goes out or moving my hand and they catch the ball. And that's your job as a cornerback, doing everything right and it still doesn't go your way. I mean, it's just – and you're the – a lot of times you're the – I know the safety's the last guy, but sometimes, like, in that play at the end, if Keyshawn Nixon doesn't make that choice to take
the unopened wide receiver,
he is going to have a touch. I mean, Evan Williams said it himself. Like, he was like, I was hoping someone was there
to cover me. To save me. Well, I love it. And then he says, like, Jesus himself, here comes Keyshawn Nixon out of the blue. What a great quote.
Well, and that's I know you hate that he talks so much shit during the game, and like that's just the thing is, the funny thing about it is, if somebody's always been like that, I don't really hold it against them. Because, like, that's just
kind of
how
they
are.
Yes.
Right. And, like, the thing about the guy is he – and you could see it in his press conference, right, where he's just throwing F-bombs. And, like, I loved that. Like,
I don't give a shit about anybody else. I do this for me.
Because that's literally the attitude you must have as a cornerback in this league. If you don't have that attitude in your mentality, if you care about anything, you are not going to be a good cornerback. You're just not.
Yep. Yeah, you've got to be able to believe in yourself, A, number one. And then B, if you do have a bad moment or a play where they do get you, you got to flush it and you got to keep going. And you do have to come back that very next play and be as confident as you were the last one. You know, it's like you just have to. That's why
I could never do that. Even if I was like athletic, okay, one, I can't play because I'm not athletic.
Someone points out like
whatever,
some dumb thing I say in a video and I'm thinking about it for a week. You know, it's like Keyshawn's got to do this down.
Dude, I remember playing tennis, like even like as a 13-year-old and just being mad at something I did and it ruining my whole set, game, match, everything. It's like, no.
Absolutely love it. Well, he's going to have his hands full, no doubt about it, on Sunday in Denver. A couple really good wide receivers out there. This is going to be a great game. It's going to be a tough game. You can find out more about it in the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter, previewing that game and tons of other great Packers content, including my weekly video preview with Andy Herman for our diehard members. Make sure you check that out. There's a link in the description of this video for you to sign up. All right,
also,
Corey, you ready?
No, I'm not ready. I forgot to add this. I wanted to say this thing that we found yesterday on Patreon or during the Patreon happy hour. I asked. I went through third year stats of Romeo Doubs, who's in his third year, and Davante Adams, and I basically discovered that Davante Adams in his third year. Had a lower pass catch rate percentage than Romeo Doubs has. So there's still hope for Doubs.
So are you, so you're cooling on your vitriol.
It's not quite
Romeo
an apology.
Doubs.
It's not apologizing because like, there's a lot of season left. A
lot of ball game left. Yep.
So like, but I was more concerned, and then I was like, you know what? Everybody was talking shit about Davante. I believed in Davante at the time. I knew he was going to be good, and I knew he just had his whatever was going on in his third year.
I will say,
it was interesting to me, the drop. It really was fascinating when I looked at it, and then it was funny because Heath Soter was like, well, how many attempts? And then I realized that percentage mattered more than just like, because at first it was like how many drops he had. I think Davante in the season had 11 to 13. Can't remember exactly, but then Doubs has got like four or five or whatever, and so then Heath Soter was like, well, how many targets? And I was like, oh yeah, the percentage. Mm-hmm. And right now I think the percentage is only off by 2%, but Doubs currently has a better catch pass percentage rate than Davante did, so there's room for growth,
which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But my thing is
insane.
It's funny that you bring up Romeo because, man, he's been on a bit of a downturn over the course of the last month or so, right? I don't think anybody would dispute that. I guess really that you can circle the Giants game is where it really started, you know, with all those, yeah, with three drops in that game. Since then, it's just not been the same Romeo we're used to as far as, you know, set it and forget it on that backside slant. You know he's going to have that money every single time. Or some of the downfield stuff that Jordan's tried with him, it's just not been there. And, yeah, I don't know what it is, but they're going to need him as well to pick it up, man. Like that.
Well, it's interesting, too, because
part of the offense.
I think that the reason I got so down on him is because of his such great play on third down, especially.
Yes, he's been a third down assassin.
In the beginning of the season, where it was like, oh,
his whole
first down,
he's been a third down killer all career long. Like last year, he hit every play that every ball he caught on third down went for a first down.
It's crazy.
That's pretty good.
My other problem with him, and I do think there's something to this, is that Christian Watson goes for the ball. Romeo waits for the ball, and that is annoying AF.
Yeah, you got to attack it. Got to hands, catch, attack the football. Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
Get it.
It's your ball. You belong to it. It belongs to you. Okay, let's hit it. Let's go.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series brought to you by Luigi's Frozen Pizza. Budget-friendly, quick-baked pizzas that deliver on flavor without breaking the bank. Perfect for students, families, and everyday pizza lovers. A smart choice for real life, affordable, satisfying, and made with quality ingredients that fit your busy day. No fluff, no regret, no breaking the bank, fancy name, smart price. Luigi's Frozen Pizza. Taste their tradition. Oh, yeah, babe. Now
taste
I'm hungry. Now I'm hungry, Banky. First up, this week in Blogosphere, let's give a shout out to Brent, our artist, but now becoming the Packers artist, apparently. I mean, look at this right here. He's doing a ton of these for the Packers as they make, you know, bang the drum for their guys to get in the Pro Bowl. He's doing a ton of comic cover art, so to speak. I love this one, Inspector Grabbit. It's kind of a Inspector Gadget / Doc Ock situation going on here for Keyshawn Nixon. He's done a ton of these. So good. Each and every one is fantastic. Shout out, Brent. Make sure you guys check it out. I think Packers have put it all over social media. It's on the website.
Yeah, almost all of
them. Good stuff.
Shout out to the Packers for actually on Instagram and on some other social, they actually tag Brent for some reason.
Unbelievable. What a new world we're living
in. Which is unbelievable. But for some reason, I don't think Duke Bobber knows that Brent has a Twitter account. So, Duke,
we'll work on it
together,
hey,
buddy.
Baby steps. One at a time.
One thing at a time. But yeah, I got to see them all. I got to see them all in black and white. And you know what's funny is,
cool.
Because I know someone. Oh, the artist. what's funny is, you know what they are. And for those of you that love, you know, '60s and '70s Marvel covers, I mean, they're literally inspired by those, which is really cool.
Yeah. So dope. Speaking of dope, there is a Twitter user named James who had, I guess, some Meta glasses on and was in the end zone where Keyshawn Nixon caught the game. Now, this video is a tad long, I'll admit, but it is worth it to get to the whole crowd chanting Bears still suck. And the whole video is just fucking amazing for the kind of camaraderie, community feel when they win the game. Let's take a look here.
Let's go! Let's go, baby! Let's fucking go!
I think he's jealous got a cheese cowboy hat.
He does indeed, and I am jealous of every single person that was there for that game, man. That looked awesome. God, that is just the best. Just like everyone around you, you're all instantly family, friends, celebrating, and they get to the Bears still suck chant. Come on. While the Bears players are right there, they're just like, the Bears still suck. The whole stadium. Oh, so good. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
You remember how adorable it was like 10 years ago when I think we had Jason Wilde on, and like he was like, he thought it was like classless that the Bears still suck was a thing.
Oh, that's just inappropriate. Like, there's just,
and I'm just like, crass. Bro, we've been doing that in Green Bay since before your dad was born, bro.
Right?
Like, what are you talking about?
Like, what did you think they were doing when they like took the band down to Chicago? Like, what do you think people have been saying all these years? Come on,
like.
Now.
Ew, I always thought it was so funny.
It is funny. And I know he's still, and look, I nothing but love for Jason, friend of show, and he's given us a shout out a couple times on Wilde and Tausch. Jason's a friend. He's been to Corey's house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not hating on Jason. I just do think it's, I love making fun of him because I like him, but I do think it's funny because he's such a prude about Bears still suck. Of like, of all the things to be like, that's annoying.
He was like, well, that's just crass. It's like, yeah. Oh, God. Like, what did Brett Favre say? This ain't the Ice Capades, you know? Come on. Love it. I love it so much. Another thing I love is watching my good buddy Dan crash out as a Bears fan. He talked about Toyota-thon on one of, I think this is on Wake Up Barstool, I'm not sure, one of the 400 shows over there at Barstool, but I just love that he has to deal with this. Let's take a look.
Toyota-thon thing is real. I'll admit it. I hate saying this. The Toyota-thon thing is real. It scares the hell out of me, and I really don't know what to do about
it. What is the Toyota-thon thing?
When Toyota-thon starts their deals, Jordan Love starts playing really good
football. He just plays incredible.
His numbers are insane.
I'm the proud owner of not one, but two murdered out minivans, Toyota Siennas, and they're fantastic vehicles. You know, no free ads.
It's a real
super
thing.
Reliable,
you got a pair of vans.
Jordan Love during Toyota-thon. This was before last week, so he had a pretty good game because he went 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Jordan Love during Toyota-thon, 4,005 yards, 33 touchdowns, 1 interception. Anytime Toyota-thon happens,
the Packers need to pay Toyota to extend the
lawn. Yes, yes. But the thing is real. I don't know what to say. It's driving me nuts.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
I mean, to be fair to Dan, that is, he said on the show that this was the game that was going to make him decide.
Break Toyota-thon? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, well, not like, just that, but it was going to make him decide if the Bears were actually good. Like, if this was all real. He was like, until the Bears beat the Packers at Lambeau, I'm not going to be a full believer.
Yeah. No, I love it. My favorite bit of that video, though, is the dude who suddenly chimes in and goes, I have two Toyotas. Like, dude, what? Can we stay on target here?
That's Barstool, like, though. If you watch, like, any Barstool show, it's like so me going on tangents time a million.
That's
hilarious.
True. That's very
besides,
fair.
Pardon my
take. I
always want to say pardon the interruption because that was ESPN one.
Yeah,
but yeah, pardon my besides pardon my take, it's like every other show on there is just Tangent City. It's funny.
Yeah, no question about it. And then I was going to show this whole thing, but I put it up on Twitter where you can find it, and it's on TikTok. But I was pretty sure we'd probably get like flagged for copyright because it uses a ton of footage throughout it. But there is one clip here from these. It's basically a compilation of Bears fans crashing out at the Nixon play. They're all wonderful. I cannot express enough how funny this thing is. Like all dudes, dude after dude after dude, just completely crashing out. But this one, all the other ones are people at home, like they're watching it and they have their camera on, whatever. This guy was at Lambeau. There's a Bears fan at Lambeau filming himself, clearly hoping that this is going to be a big touchdown. And, of course, that did not occur. Let's take a look.
Come on, Bears! On the fake, Williams looking, throwing, yes!
His face just kills me. It's so full of hope. And then everyone behind him, their arms go up, and his face just completely drops.
That's been me so many times at Lambeau and at
other
stadiums around the country.
Oh, my God, that's great.
I feel for that guy.
I know.
Except for he's a Chicago fan, so I don't.
Yeah, I don't feel that badly, but... Just his face is so good. I love it. Finally, Corey, I know you know, as you're an avid history buff of the Green Bay Packers. Today, the anniversary, 1939, the Packers secured their fifth NFL title with a 27-0 shutout of the Giants at the Wisconsin State Fair. And shout out to Packers History, or at Historic Packers on Twitter, because they unearthed this footage, and it is phenomenal. Here's just a little taste from that day.
And now let's go to the big game of the year. Up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the battle to decide the National League Championship of 1939 is being fought between the winners of the Eastern Division, the New York Giants, who are the defending champions, and the Green Bay Packers, winners of the Western Division. This should be the most exciting battle we've watched so far. It's really a struggle of titans. The pick of the football world. The Packers have won the title four times, and the Giants three. Coach Curly Lambeau of the Packers tells his boys that they're going to establish a new league record if they win the crown today.
What's crazy about that, I highly recommend everyone watch that, because what's crazy to me about that footage, when you actually watch the game footage, the game of football has not changed as much as you might think.
Yep.
And everybody that wants to talk so much fucking shit about how, the modern era and all this shit. Dude, the game of football has not changed much from 1939. It really hasn't. There's forward passes that'll blow your mind. There's personnel groupings that'll blow your mind. It's amazing. Like Vince always said,
it's a simple game. It's a game of blocking and tackling, and they're still blocking and tackling in 1939. No,
but I think when people think about that era, they think, it's not
three
the 20s, which is
dust.
Funny. They didn't pass. I mean, the first three passes they show from the highlights are sick. Mm-hmm. Like, they're crazy. Like, it's really good. I love how, there's very few people that don't have a fedora, too. That's funny.
It's so good. The whole crowd. That's what my grandma always talked about. She's like, we got dressed up. For the Ice Bowl. Yeah. She was wearing like her camel coat and her silk blouse and
I have video of my grandma Banky talking about going to the
I can't believe I've never seen that. I need to
and
see that.
And she talks about going with my grandfather, and I think the game they talked about, maybe it was the Ice Bowl, but she talked about that very thing of like how they used to go.
Even in sub-zero temperatures, they all got their like best Sunday best on, and then went to the game, then for cocktails afterwards. The whole thing. Love it. All right, Corey, what we got? We got some YouTube comments up in the.
I just want to pat myself on the back for Nagler and I had a very long text on Monday night.
We did indeed.
I was very annoyed by Homer, his whole tirade about how bad the defense was, blah, blah, blah. And I argued with Nagler for a while about showing it and then just getting all mad about it and ranting about it and whatever. And then we went back and forth about, like, do you elevate someone who's just trying to rage bait and get engagement? And, or, you know, do you rally the tribe against people who should just retire? And I go back to, you know, the thing that turned me on Bob McGinn, like the thing that started like the whole like on Packer transplants was the fail Mary and the fact I was just talking to somebody about this feeling that I had where I didn't understand how someone that I respected so much, this person being Bob McGinn, could look at the footage of the fail Mary and decide to troll and bait Packer fans into something that we could all see with our own eyes. And it really just bothered me. And that moment of him doing that, of him saying, oh yeah, that Seattle caught the ball, that basically got me in a whole rage and a tirade, and I ended up calling the man senile on Packer transplants, which someone clearly told him, and that led to this whole thing of, you know, whatever, Nagler getting blamed for shit that I said on air or whatever. And I just go to, and then, you know, so we were going to do this whole thing, and Aaron obviously was like, yeah, I'll do it, because he pretty much will, if I can convince him, you know, and he was like, okay, fine, because, you know, and Aaron will say his piece against it, so it's, you know, it's like, whatever, but yesterday I just was like, you know what, we were in a meeting, and I was like, you know what, I changed my mind, because, one, the person, you know, Homer's basically irrelevant at this point, like, and you can just tell that, like, the desperation that everybody at ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee, with the exception of Wilde and Tausch, it almost feels like Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher are being taken hostage by the entire way that station is being run. And it just feels like they've decided to go completely into rage bait in order to make themselves relevant. And so I don't think it pays to show the footage, but I do think, and, you know, then I went into ChatGPT, as I do, and I was like, you know what, because I needed to formulate my thinking around it, and I was like, and ChatGPT was like, you know, you don't go after people, you go after their points and what they said. And then I was like thinking about it, and I was like, I talked to Aaron about it, Nagler about it, and I was like, you know, I don't really want to address his points, because his points are dumb as fuck. And so I just want to pat myself on the back, because I'm not going to do a rant about it, because I think it's stupid, and that's all I have to say about it. But it made me angry, just like I think it made a lot of people angry who saw it on social media, because it just felt like, you know why I wanted to address it, is because when I was a Packers fan, all you really got, you know, Nagler and I started this podcast because we felt like back in 2007, we got the Packer report a week after, and we just didn't get anything. Right. And then, yep, you know, we would get downloads of Chris Hovel on, you know, 107.3, I think it was. And so we would get those, but those would be the day after, right? And so you kind of get a little bit of insight into what's happening or whatever, but you never felt like you got enough. And so we started the podcast to be like, okay, let's try to give people who are outside the state a little bit. And I always remember listening. It's why I'm not a huge fan of Bill Michaels, because I just always felt like he was very negative on the Packers, even when we did well. And I just think it's like, if we win a game, can we not right after just talk shit about the Packers? It just feels so weird. And that was like a thing, by the way, from like 19. It's like the 80s kind of taught us how to be taught radio people in Green Bay how to do that, right? And so then in the 90s, that's all you heard. After Brett Favre could have an amazing game, and everybody would just bitch about stuff and be negative about the Packers. And it just always felt like, what are we doing here? And I want us to be a different place, and I think we have been, but I don't think, you know, if that's your thing, like, listen to that, and I'm not trying to gatekeep people, but I just don't understand. I don't understand the mentality. I understand the business mentality. I understand rage baiting people. I understand the world that we live in and how, you know, we've been put in these little silos, and so now we're trying to get views and things, and we see other people doing it, and we think, oh, I want to do that, and I get all that, but I don't. With Packer fandom, I don't understand it. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I want better for us. I really do.
Well, and that was one of the points I made when we were having that text exchange on Monday. Because it's funny, because you texted right after I got done with Packers Daily, and someone super chatted me about Homer's rant. And I said to them, and I'll say to you, like, that's why you talk about wanting better for Packers fans. And yeah, no, if that's your thing, if you want an outlet that's going to be looking for every single possible negative after a big dramatic win, then yeah, have at it. Great. That's for you. It's not for me. And what I told Corey is like, man, that's, and what I told my viewer on Daily, it's just keep scrolling. Like, that's the power that you have. Like, I understand it's upsetting when you, it, like, the algorithm works in a certain way where it gets put in front of you regardless of whether you're following it or not, whether you're trying to engage with that stuff or not. This world we live in now, it's like the internet has its ways of making sure that you see it regardless. Just keep scrolling. Hell, that's what I tell my daughters about stuff, you know? Like, just this world, the way we live right now, as far as media consumption, you're going to have the, you know, more than a handful of opportunities to get your blood pressure up, you know? And to your point, Corey, oftentimes it is being done that way on purpose. You know, I don't, and look, what I told Corey and what I told said on Daily, I respect the hell out of Homer. He's been doing this longer than, you know, I've been, maybe not alive, but been doing it a lot longer than I have. He's seen more football than I have. He's been talking about the Packers longer than I have. But man, when it comes to takes like that, the negativity right after a big win, man, it's just like that scene in The Office where Michael Scott closes the door on the old man. It's like, okay, that's adorable. I'm going to go over here and have some fun and drink a beer. That's it. You know, I got no problem with him saying it. I just don't need to engage with it. That's where I'm at.
Well, and I'm not done ranting about stuff because I was like, oh, let's cue it up. And then, you know.
Oh, you were ready. You were ready to go.
Well, I also just feel like, I feel like the thing that he did was it feels so desperate. Like when I rant, I'm not desperate.
You're just angry. Like popping off.
Like, you know how like we live in this world where people do reaction videos that aren't live. So they gin it up, right?
Which
and
is
like
weird.
That's crazy to me, right?
Thing,
that's
right?
So weird.
Agreed.
Like all of our watch parties,
agreed.
It happened at the moment.
Live.
We didn't reshoot
it's all
it.
Live.
Like there's
nope.
This Bears guy that everybody loves, and you can tell he's not shooting himself while he's watching it, he's doing it after the fact. And it's so weird. It's acting, right? It's like weird acting. And I think the thing about his rant was it feels like the death of two radio stations or radio entities that are just trying so hard to stay relevant. So, and that's why I think it's important not to show it, because if they were relevant, I would be pissed about it.
That makes sense.
We got some super chats.
Do we?
GB Gaithful. Is it GB Gaithful? I think it means to say GB Faithful.
No, it's GB Faithful. What's up, Jerry? That's Jerry Mannion.
Oh, it's Jerry Mannion. Why is YouTube weird with names now? It's
so weird. It's so bad. I don't know.
Go Pack Go from MPLS. Bring on the Broncos. Thanks,
there you
Jerry.
Go. A very simple message that everyone can get behind.
E4 K-Town. Aside from Broncos fan, who cares about the Broncos? Just win. No dreams.
I think some people care.
The thing that I can't... like. Every time I think about the Broncos, I think about
Super Bowl.
Stupid Super Bowl.
I know. It's impossible.
It's so
not
annoying.
To. It's beyond
like,
annoying.
As much as I want to, like,
the only Super Bowl
Broncos,
we've ever watched the Packers lose.
Yeah.
It's the worst, man. People talk about 2014. 2014 sucked. Don't get it twisted. It was fucking awful. But you do not know the pain of watching your favorite team lose a Super Bowl. Like that is
can you imagine? That's when I think about
another world.
Can you imagine being a Bills fan and watching them
Jesus
four
no.
in a row?
Good God, no! You gotta be
How
numb.
Even
the fourth
happen?
One. How do you just not get numb?
There are people that are living in this world.
Fathom the Packers getting to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and losing all of them. I would jump out a window, dude. Like I don't know. Like I couldn't handle
there
that.
There are people in this world. I'm sure there's a Venn diagram of Bills fans who went to all four, paid tickets, thousands of dollars.
Yeah, went, got out, got up, went to them all.
Yikes.
Can't fathom it. Cannot fathom it.
Will Collins 17, if the Jags wanted a great two-way player, couldn't we have just traded them both for a first-round pick?
Nice. I mean, come on, Bo Melton. Although Bo Melton was wearing the offensive jersey today at practice, for those of you keeping track at home.
Interesting. Brandy Lewis. Valentine mouthing off to the opposing team reminds me of myself after I had a few carry the G's. LOL.
I like that.
E4 K-Town. Apparently YouTube won't let me use the word beat in reference to the Broncos. WTF. Thanks, YouTube.
Beat the Broncos? Can't beat the Broncos?
Beat
I don't
the
know.
Broncos.
Don't want. No, maybe they're about, you know, trying to protect. Maybe they're, you know, sensitive to animal cruelty. I don't know.
Your Honor, living here in Colorado, I'll do all I can locally to help the Pack get the win. Thanks again for all you guys do. Thanks,
we appreciate the support, sir, and we appreciate your work. Keep it up. Keep fighting for the good ones.
Andrew Ware, Packers legend, Bo fucking Melton.
Absolutely, baby. Like, what I loved, Corey, did you see the clip that the Packers put out of Bo Melton mic'd up? Because it was excellent, man. And you could tell. Matt kind of mentioned it in his presser on Monday, but the clip where he gets to the sideline and just everyone is just elated and like dapping him up and giving him a high five and celebrating him. You can tell, guy, like the team loves him. Just love it. Just yeah. Love it.
I was going to look. I know that the – I was going to look at something. Sorry. I hear it.
It's serious. Okay. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to Tim and Evan, who both joined the Carry the G Club at the start nice. Of our program here, as well as Porkmaster, who's been a Carry the G Club member for 36 months, who says, fuck the Bears, fuck Chicago, fuck Ben Johnson, bring on the Broncos. It's the economy of language that I appreciate. That's where I'm at.
Nice. Joe Mailman, Gary hasn't had a sack or TFL since Steelers game. Yikes.
It's unfortunate. And it's getting hard to ignore. No doubt about
Mike
it.
Mike Witt, you are number two. I'm just for Corey's opinion on Homer's rant on the defense Sunday night after game. LOL, crazy. I did it. I did it. Sorry, I didn't get to give you the rant you wanted. Don't worry.
We'll get there someday. Someday, something will set Corey off, and you'll get a good old-fashioned rant. Trust me.
Mike Witt, we going to get a cheese mimosa taste testing on transplants, Corey? Did you make it yet? 2017 in overtime Sunday McManus revenge game. Book it.
Ooh, I like it.
I was with you until the McManus revenge game part. No,
man, I like it. I like McManus hitting a walk-off to win against his old team. I'm in.
Okay. For those of you, okay, so Andre Champagne sent us some video. I did this unboxing because there are cocktail videos coming out. So I had that sitting there and I was shooting the cocktail videos anywhere. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm as shocked as anybody else while I'm unwrapping it. Like, who the fuck, whose idea, what Fifth Avenue genius was like, yeah, let's make 31 champagnes and people are going to they're going to shred cheese and melt it in the microwave, then put it with apple juice, honey, and a champagne. The fuck is going on?
The cheese mosa, if you will. There's a video on our YouTube channel where you can check this out, by the way.
Yeah,
just dropped earlier today.
You can check it out, which is what the ask is. But no, I will. You know, Camille asked on the
but
she
no.
chatted on it. Camille chatted on the chat. She's like, "When are we going to see the video of you actually drinking it?" And I'm like, "No, you couldn't pay me enough.
Never going to happen." Shout out Brandy Lewis, member of the Carry the G Club for 40 months, who says, "I only get frustrated with this defense a couple times a game now. Progress. Look at you. That's called growth. Well done, Brandy. Proud of you."
New York Cheesehead, attention NFL refs, hold, to have or keep in hand, keep fast, grasp, holding, the active person that holds. Has anybody done a video showing how many holds there should have been called against Micah Parsons? That
Not for this particular game. I think content creators have just gotten tired of doing it every week because it happens every week. And every week you're like, well, look at all these plays. That's a lot of work.
Do you think Matt LaFleur has like an assistant just cut up all the tape and be like,
oh, Corey, I know Matt LaFleur has an assistant, but he ain't cutting up tape.
No, but I mean, do you think Jeff Hapley has like the assistant defensive end, defensive tackles? Do you think he has them cut up tape and send them to the refs and be like, hey, can you answer this?
No.
That's sad.
I think every once in a while they'll probably have an egregious play, much like they late in the game that they showed repeatedly on the Jumbotron. I am pretty sure that play got sent to the league office. I have zero doubt.
If I was the chief of staff for Ed Policy, I would definitely 100% send every. I would have an assistant, and all they would do is send.
It's cut up Michael Parsons holding plays.
Yes.
Well,
like,
hey,
guys.
Funny, you mentioned the officiating. What was funny is the league had their owners meeting today, though they did it virtually.
And one of the things to come out of it was Troy Vincent saying that they have not come to an agreement with the referees union. So that CBA is up in May, and they're trying to get them essentially to go full time, which is something I've begged them to do for years.
We've been having this since we started transplants. We've been asking for the refs to be full time.
Literally since 2007, we've been asking about this. Yes. So, but their next negotiating moment is December 20th. I'm telling you though, dude, this is something to watch, because if they don't get this and shit sorted out by May, like the officials will probably just sit there and go, okay, fine, do it without us. And then they'll have to get like college dudes to do it. And like, you think the officiating is bad now? Yes. Yes.
But also, like, here's what's crazy. Okay. These teams get like, I don't know what the number is. It's over 200 million. I think it's $288 million on January 1st from a media deal. Each team.
Yep.
It might
like,
be 260.
Regardless of gate receipts, like it's the shared media money.
Just here is a check for you on January 1st.
Boom. That's your money.
You're telling me you can't afford to pay refs full time? What the hell is going on out here?
I don't know.
Man. JJ88G2T. Corey is the most negative Packers content I listen to. LOL. Good for you.
How is Corey negative?
No, I'm the most. Meaning, like, they don't listen to negative content, is how I'm taking that. Because I'm not very negative.
Yeah, no, that's my point. Like,
I know. So they don't listen to negative content. See what that is? See? It was a compliment.
Okay.
That's all I'm taking it.
I don't know. The internet is weird. I read that very differently, but okay.
I'm taking it as a compliment, especially when you put in LOL.
He says LOL because he's like, you're so negative. That's how I read it. Maybe just because I get attacked online every day. So that's how my brain works.
No.
There's no
I think
content,
it's more saying,
like
I don't listen to negative content. You're the most negative.
You're as negative as I get. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm not very negative.
Just know, Corey, I'm ready to throw down like for you if necessary. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't like it. I distinctly remember a time 2 years ago where Tom Grossi sent me a text, and he was like, this team is not good, and I was fucking pissed.
You were so mad. Dude,
I was like,
the fact that you keep bringing that up,
so
dude,
mad,
you have that
bro.
Has burrowed into your brain in a way that few things do, but that thing has stayed there.
I'll never forget it.
2 years
never forget
now.
It. No, so I'm funny. Holding a, I'm ho- so I'm got a chip on my shoulder for that, because I was like, no, this is not the moment, Tom. This is not the moment. Okay. Nathan Hooper, Tausch was genuinely miffed with Homer's take. Props to him for pushing back on that trash. Yeah, I mean, dude, if they didn't have the thing is like, if they didn't have
now you said this earlier, and I do want to jump. I do want to jump in here because there are a handful of others on that station that are phenomenal. Gary Ellerson is fucking great. He is so good. Every take, spot on. Like, he's so good. Jen Latta, friend of show, phenomenal. Like, there's pockets of, like, good stuff going on there. But as a whole, what is pushed on social media, yes, you are correct. They are trying to, like, rage bait people, no doubt.
Well, especially ESPN Madison's worse than ESPN Milwaukee. It's like ESPN Madison, they don't even put people on that know the Packers at all.
What the Packers are.
Like, they're like, hey, you watch the game, talk about it. Literally.
Go.
And from Madison, of all places. Like, what the hell? Madison is like the most inverted Packer fans you've ever seen in your whole entire life. And I know there's a bunch of people watching this from Madison. Like, like.
Inverted, like Top Gun?
Like inverted. No, inverted, like inverted. What's the when Superman, what's Superman's alter ego?
Oh,
the Superman, you know,
Doomsday
the
Superman,
like,
no, I know.
Yeah, it's like
the dark Superman.
That's
I know
yeah, dark Superman. That's Madison Packer fans. They're like, yeah, the Packers. Yeah. Oh yeah, the Packers.
They're so busy just getting ready for another year of Luke Fickle. They got no time.
They're so busy watching terrible football that when they see good football, they're like, what's this? This is interesting. I can't. What's going on?
Your continuous battle with the city of Madison is fascinating.
I love Madison. I love Madison. Also, I'm about to be on the board with something in Madison. I love Madison. I do. I think that the love they have for Green Bay is not great enough, and that is where my pain comes from. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
Jerry Mannion, I blame wearing white jerseys for losing Super Bowl 32.
I mean, that is a spot-on take right there. Spot-on take.
I blame Marlon
Morrison.
There's
no notes. I blame Marlon Morrison, very much so. Yeah.
100%.
Tick,
biggest talk.
Tick, tick, tock.
Mike Witt, my favorite part of Homer's rant was Chaucer reacting to it while it was happening. LOL. Oh, Jerry Mannion, Buck the Broncos.
Amen, brother. Absolutely.
Richard Harris, Bo Melton equals Eric Torkelson.
Oh, wow. Wow. What an old school pull right there. Well played.
Bizarro Superman.
Bizarro Superman.
Yeah.
That was
yeah. Madison fans Superman. Are bizarro. They're bizarro Packer fans.
Bizarro Packers
bizarro.
Fans.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're like, we're Packers fans. What's football?
But didn't Bizarro have like a scratchy like, oh, we're Packers fans. Like, wouldn't it be like a dark gravelly voice? I think.
Yeah, but it's Madison, so they can't have a dark gravelly voice. It's not how it works. Elijah Robb, like I always said, extend Luke Butkus.
I mean, it is kind of funny. I pointed this out the other day. And look, because this is what somebody said. I was like, it's so funny. Anthony Belton comes in, solidifies right guard, and all the folks that like a month ago were like, fire Luke Butkus, are suddenly quiet. Because now they're scoring points, and now they're moving the ball on offense. And then someone responded with, Anthony Belton is PFF-y, bad, poorly graded. I don't give a shit, man. He's playing ball. He's doing well. They're playing well as a unit. They're moving the ball and scoring points, which they were not doing prior to Anthony Belton's arrival. So you tell me, what do you care about? Do you care about PFF, or do you care about the results on offense? That's where I'm at. And yes, shout out Luke Butkus. Getting this young guy, a rookie, who played nothing but tackle all summer to go in at guard and solidify the offensive line. That doesn't just happen.
It is. I don't want to hate on Brian and the scouting department, but it is kind of funny how they identify guards that become tackles and tackles become guards. And I guess that's kind of a predominantly NFL thing, and maybe it's like a college thing that I don't understand. But it is really funny how... Like, it'll be like, yeah, Jordan Morgan, he's going to be this, and he's a guard.
He's
and then
it's we'll like, put him at guard. He's a tackle. We'll put him at guard. This guy, he's a total tackle. Put him at guard. All right.
I mean, you know, at least we have bodies, this. I guess.
See, now I can say this because we're deep into the show and no one's going to be watching. So I haven't even told you this in real life. So I'm just going to tell you here live on the air. You know how a couple weeks ago you were bitching about the kicker situation, and you said, I've lost a little respect for Brian Gutekunst because of this kicker thing, blah, 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 blah. So what happens when I am on the fucking sideline in New York? Gutekunst big-timed me. Like, all the other personnel guys came up and said hello. Goody looked at me and went, and then sat down on the bench and never talked to me.
So I blame you for that.
I blame you for that. Literally, Milt Hendrickson, John Eric Sullivan, they're all coming up saying hello, talking, whatever. Goody goes, and then goes and sits down. Like, damn it, Banky, now I got to work on this, you know? Jesus.
I mean, it is kind of true. Kicker is like his Achilles heel.
Yeah. I mean, hey, McManus is making his kicks now. That's all I care about. Now, I'd like him to kick it in bounds on kickoffs, but yeah, doing well now. And he's
it just goes to show that Brian watches the show. But I think it's funny. Clearly, like, if he does watch this show, he knows you have no control over me. I'm like a freaking rabid
you would
dog.
Hope. You would hope. You would hope.
One like, would I just hope. Say shit. I'm an emotion. I'm emotions.
It's fine. Emotions, LaFleur assisted me, too, for something I said after the fucking Eagles game, so whatever. They're just as thin-skinned as we are. That's all I know. It's hilarious.
Andrew Ware, breaking Ravens game flex to Saturday night.
There you go. Another Saturday game.
Is that because college is over, they can legally do it, right? That's why they're doing it. Because then they have like a rule where they can't do Friday.
There are some of that, but most
legally
of that was
bound
Friday
by
night.
Not doing Friday. Yeah. My bad. Yeah. Steve-O, looking forward to the watch party on Sunday, gents.
Thank you, Steve-O. Steve-O, by the way, really appreciate you being not only at every watch party, but you're always on each and every happy hour, and you're always so positive, dude. Like, really appreciate you. Thank you so much, man.
Who the fuck is Homer? Is where is this rant video you speak of?
See, what did you just do, Corey? You just got them engagement. You just got them interest. You just elevated their message.
You're gonna have to look it up. You're
what did I say? What did I say?
You're right. Well, here's the thing. If you really want to be pissed as a Packers fan, go find it.
Go find it.
Like, if I'm not going to play it because I'm not going to do it, but I'll help you. I'll help you find it. If you just want that, sometimes you just want that evil, negative energy. And if you want that, definitely watch that.
You're going to love this, too. The Ravens game is a Peacock exclusive. Kind of like the Brazil game was. Good times.
Here's my thing right here. I think that Congress should pass a law that says if the NFL wants to keep its antitrust, there has to be an over-the-air option.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Because they still make money. It's advertising. Yeah, there's no reason to put it behind a paywall. There's plenty of people that are paying for it. There's plenty of sponsors that want it to be seen. It's going to give them the bigger numbers. But if they do that, then what's nice is if they have a lot – I think it's good for the NFL too, because then the NFL has their hands tied and is like, sorry, Amazon, sorry, Apple. Like, we've got to put it on a local TV station somewhere.
It's got to be on some kind of over-the-air.
It's got to be on something. Some carrier's got to take your thing so that everyone can get the game for free. It's like – otherwise, what is the point?
By the way, that's literally how they built their empire as the NFL. Like, literally.
That's the crazy thing. That, like, Monday Night Football, for instance, I put it on ABC. I got the local ABC affiliate, and I watched the game. And why? Why can't that? It's so easy. It's a technologically easy. It doesn't really do it. And, like, the only people it hurts are the people that are trying to put the NFL behind a paywall.
Yes,
but why?
Exactly. Yep. No, I agree. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir, man.
Mike Witt, Nagler, Banky, and Herrick to be NFL refs next year. Who would make the best ref?
Definitely Tyler Herrick. No question.
Well, no, it depends. Who would make the best ref for the Green Bay Packers, it would 100%.
Oh, well, that'd be you, obviously. Come on.
Who would make
We're
the best actual ref?
Ref.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be Tyler
No,
Herrick.
Who would be completely biased Homer on every call? No. Me. Who would call as soon as the call was snapped? I would call holding on the offense against Micah Parsons.
There you go.
And then when they took Micah Parsons out, then that's the only way that they did. I wouldn't call holding.
Perfect.
It would be people would be yelling at me. They'd be like, "Stop making this about you." I would 100% make it about me. Mike Witt, my first ever Packers game was in preseason in Camp Randall. Great time.
Oh, wow. I remember when they used to do that. Yeah. Wow. That was a while ago there, buddy. Kind of aging yourself, but that's cool. We
Corey's up. All emotion. Negs is the voice of reason. It's like watching my mom and dad every week. Parkmaster.
Sometimes. Depends.
I was about to say, like, during watch parties, I am the voice of reason.
Exactly. On this show, I'm the voice of reason. During watch parties, it is reversed 100%.
I am 100% because I am so biased to be positive for the Packers. Yeah, I'm – you will see me rant, but not about the team overall. It'll be about a person or it'll be about – yeah, it's just – it's not
absolutely.
It's usually someone talking shit about the Packers that I'm ranting about. So, Porkmaster, love conquers Peyton's bounties.
Oh wow! Well done. Well played. The bounty hunter, as it were, in Sean Payton. Well said.
But wait, is the Ravens game? That's the home game. They just flexed that. Yeah. I thought they flexed it for afternoon.
What do you mean?
I thought they had flexed it for afternoon. I saw that. So they announced their flex. Oh,
it was always TBD. It was going to be either Saturday or Sunday.
So now it's the 27th and not the 28th?
Correct. So your guest will be arriving a day earlier than you probably thought.
Oh, that's crazy. I could have went to New York for New Year's earlier. Thanks, NFL. okay, that's all I got.
Is that it? My gosh, yep. I can't believe it. Let's give a shout-out to our Patreon members, everybody, each and every week coming out to the happy hour. Cannot thank you guys enough. It is an incredible community. Really appreciate each and every one of you. You guys are the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV, along with Carry the G-Club members here on YouTube who make, I mean, not just Packer transplants, but watch parties. That's always a ton of fun. We really appreciate the support. Thank you so much. Corey, you got anything else before we head off into the evening?
Let's do it.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.